The Vape Passion Show, episode 58. In this episode, we're going to talk about, do vape reviewers lie? Flavor ban in New Jersey. The American Heart Association should retract their statement that vaping may worsen risk of stroke. A new study shows that vaping is more satisfying than smoking. Enjoy completes a $35 million equity capital raise. And ingredients that mute flavors. If you're planning on buying a vape product anytime soon and you want to support this show, go to vapepassion.com/vendors and buy from one of those links. There are more than 50 popular vendors listed. I'll get a small commission for referring you, but it doesn't cost you anything extra. Hey, welcome back to the Vape Passion Show. This is episode 58, and I'm recording this on Sunday, March 5th. So I got some fun stuff in this week. Nothing big, but a lot of little things. So first I got some e-juice to review from Van Val Vapor. They sent me 7 flavors in 17.5 mil bottles. They all sound really good. So Van Val's story is that they want to make premium e-juice more affordable than smoking. They want to offer realistic prices for people who are tired of unethical pricing. They sell their e-juice for $2.99 for 15 mil bottles, $7.99 for 50 mil bottles, $15.99 for 125 ml bottles, and $24.99 for 210 ml bottles. So really cheap e-juice. I haven't tried any of their e-juices yet, so I can't say whether or not it's any good, but damn good pricing. So if it's good stuff, those are some great prices. I also ordered this cordless mini mixer from Norpro on Amazon. It was only $5.70, so pretty cheap. I haven't used it yet, but I saw this in the comment section on a DIY e-juice video on YouTube from someone who said it's a great device to mix e-juice, even in bottles as small as 5 milliliters. So it sounds pretty cool. And then I also got a few concentrated flavorings for some DIY e-juice. So nothing too special here, but I did get a menthol solution. So I believe this is 100% menthol concentrate. And I'm really excited to experiment with it. I've never actually used menthol solution before, so that should be fun. I do have a question for you guys, though. The bottle says to dilute this by 50% in 190 proof pure grain alcohol. So I'm wondering, do I do that even when I'm going to use it for vaping? And the reason I ask this is because the bottle also specifically mentions that using too much can ruin your e-juice. So I'm assuming that everything on the bottle pertains to vaping, even the dilution suggestions. So if you have any experience with menthol, please let me know. Okay, so now let's do a really quick e-juice review. So this is called Amazing Mango from Naked 100. And these guys hooked me up with this a while back, and I feel bad that it's taken me so long to review. Naked 100 has really taken off, and it seems to be pretty popular now. So this is made by an e-liquid company called The Schwartz. This line is called Naked 100, and it's pretty popular, it seems like, these days. This is a 70 VG 30 PG ratio, and it's a 60 ml bottle and 3 milligrams of nicotine. All right, let's give it a smell. Oh yeah, very strong mango smell in there. I know a lot of people don't like mango, but I do, so I think I'm gonna like this one. So for this review, I'm using the Kanger K-Box 200 with the Faro RDA on top. So you can see it's a pretty nice bottle. The e-juice is a nice golden color. All right, let's give it a shot. So I'm at 159 watts. Okay, so it's sweet. There is mango for sure. It also has a little bit of a floral flavor, which is interesting. According to their website, they say that Amazing Mango features a perfectly ripe, fresh, juicy mango with the subtle undertones of a peach-infused cream. That mango is definitely in there. The peach is very light. It is in there, but it's very light. And maybe a little bit of cream, too. It does have a bit of a cream taste. The only thing throwing me off a little bit is that floral flavor. But it's pretty good. I could see myself vaping this whole bottle. So if you go to their website, theschwartzeliquid.com, you'll see that Amazing Mango sells for $27 for a 60 ml bottle, so a bit pricey. But you can also look around and find some good deals. Like I saw it on breezy.com for $20, so that's much more affordable. $20 for a 60 ml bottle of premium e-juice, I think that's a good deal. And something else I forgot to mention is that there's practically no throat hit at all, so it's not harsh. It is 3 milligrams nicotine, so it's very low, but it is a very smooth vape. All right, so now let's get into some of the topics this week. So the first one I want to talk about is, do vape reviewers lie? So I recently received a comment on my blog for my review of the Vaporesso S-Doc tank. My review was very positive of this tank because I really like it for what it is. It has great flavor, it performs well, and doesn't leak at all. Well, someone just left a comment on my blog that said, this tank is garbage. It leaks really, really badly from the airflow holes and airlocks. It is junk. So in my own experience, and based on the many other reviews that I've seen on this tank, I think this person simply got a defective tank. Everyone else seems to love it. But it was his comment that gave me the idea to talk about this topic. On a lot of the more popular vape reviewer channels, I always see comments from people saying things like vape reviewers lie about products so that they can keep getting free stuff. I'm not saying that this is what this person is accusing me of, but that's what sparked the idea for this segment. So first, let's talk about lying to get free products. It's totally true that there are some reviewers out there that will lie about the quality of the products that they review so that those companies will keep sending them free stuff. And this happens all over YouTube and Amazon, in every industry, not just vaping. And there are also some reviewers who might not tell the whole truth about a product for the same reason, while not outright lying. And sometimes reviewers might feel bad about offending the company. Vendors and manufacturers send out products to reviewers knowing full well that reviewers will usually say positive things about the product. And this is how they advertise their products. Vendors won't always get too upset about a negative review, but manufacturers certainly will. It's a reflection of their company as a whole, and it can feel like a personal attack, especially for the smaller companies who have put their heart and soul into a product. And it's for that reason that some reviewers will lie or stretch the truth out of fear of making the company mad or simply because they feel bad about offending them. And companies will get mad. Sigelli, for example, got very publicly upset with Daniel from DJ LSB Vapes for his review of the Sigelli 213. There was also some drama within the community after Daniel's review of Vaporize Nomad's Boss 3000, although Vaporize Nomads took it very well. And just recently, Billy, known as Heathen on YouTube, just recently reviewed a tank called the Helixer RDTA from a company called Fatoon. He didn't drag it through the mud or anything, but he didn't give it high praise either. Fatoon didn't like his negative comments, and they just blew up on him. Heathen talked about that in his most recent vlog video if you want to go check it out. I'll also include a link to that in the show notes. So with all that said, bad reviewers eventually die off. There are some great reviewers out there, and they get big for one main reason. They can be trusted. Some reviewers are more popular for their entertainment value, but they still have to be trusted if they want to grow their channels. And me personally, I take my reviews very seriously. I absolutely hate having to say negative things about a product, but unfortunately, there's almost always something negative to say, even if it's just a tiny issue. I also try very hard to find something negative to say about the products I review, and I always tell this to the companies that reach out to me to review their products. I've had so many companies never speak to me again after I publish my review of their products, and I get it. If you own a business, why would you keep sending products to someone who doesn't like your stuff? Businesses are in it to make money, even the businesses with the best intentions. So they're going to stick with the reviewers that say good things about them. But if I was to start lying in my reviews, anyone who owns that product that I'm reviewing would call me out, and I would lose the respect of my subscribers. Nobody would trust me, and my channel would die off. And that's what happens to most of the reviewers out there. I might only have 500 or so subscribers right now, but those subscribers, you guys, mean a lot to me, and I would never feel good about myself if I lied to your faces. I also want to mention that we all have different preferences and opinions when it comes to vaping, and sometimes we don't always agree with each other. And that's something that we should all keep in mind before slamming a reviewer. So yeah, those are my thoughts about that. And like I said earlier, I'm not saying that the guy who left a comment on my blog was accusing me of lying. He might have been, but I tried not to make assumptions. All right, moving on. Let's talk about the flavor ban in New Jersey. New Jersey is proposing a statewide e-liquid flavor ban. So there's a bill in New Jersey called A3704, that's Assembly 3704, which is attempting to kill the vaping industry throughout the state. Current law in New Jersey bans the sale of flavored cigarettes that have characterizing flavors other than tobacco, clove, and menthol. This law currently doesn't include electronic cigarettes, but regulators are pushing for e-cigs to be regulated in the same way. Bill A374 will ban all e-liquid flavors that are not tobacco, clove, and menthol, which would essentially kill the vaping industry in New Jersey, because those allowed flavors simply wouldn't be enough to keep vape shops in business. And while tobacco and menthol flavors are often first choices for smokers transitioning to vaping, vapers typically quickly move to other flavors and continue using flavored e-juices to prevent themselves from going back to smoking. The bill was introduced in May 2016 and was just recently passed by the Assembly Health and Senior Services Committee on February 27th. Its next stop is with the Assembly Appropriations Committee, and this is one step closer to being signed into law by Governor Chris Christie. If you're a consumer of vape products in New Jersey, you should contact your assembly members and senators to let them know that passing this bill would shut down hundreds of businesses in the state and also take away your choice to use vaping as an alternative to smoking. If you're a business owner, Greg Connolly of the American Vaping Association is saying that calls and emails aren't enough. He says that you need to contact your assembly members and senators to schedule in-person meetings. And Greg Connolly, Alex Clark from CASA.org, and the New Jersey Vapor Rights Coalition have stated that they will help business owners plan effective meetings with representatives. So if you own a vape shop in New Jersey, take advantage of their help and do what you can to save vaping in your state. All right, let's move on to the next topic. The American Heart Association should retract their statement that vaping may worsen risk of strokes. So a couple of weeks ago, on February 23rd, the American Heart Association released a press release claiming that e-cigarettes may pose as much or even more risk as tobacco does in worsening strokes. Media outlets picked this up and posted it all over the place. The researchers exposed mice to vapor for 10 days and 30 days and found that they had worse stroke outcomes and neurological deficits than the mice exposed to tobacco smoke. They also found that vapor exposure decreased glucose uptake in the brain and decreased anticoagulant levels, much like smoke exposure does. Dr. Siegel, an expert in tobacco control and a professor at the Boston University School of Public Health, has commented on the results of this study. So Dr. Siegel pointed out that the results of the study were based on a single mouse study, which has not been published or peer-reviewed. He also mentioned that it's absurd to extrapolate the conclusions that the researchers did from a single preclinical animal study and assume that it might have the same health effects in humans. And this is particularly true of mouse studies where physiological, neuroanatomical, and metabolic differences are so different that they often don't translate to humans, even when adjusting those dosages to the body weight differences. And even if the results were true, we know that vaping is still much safer than smoking in many ways. And it's sad that a big health organization like the American Health Association, an organization that many people trust, would make claims like this based on research that doesn't translate well to humans. All right, let's talk about another study. So a new study shows that vaping is more satisfying than smoking. A new study from the University of Buffalo is reporting that daily electronic cigarette users see vaping as satisfying or even more satisfying as cigarettes. The participants also see vaping as less harmful than cigarettes. This study was performed on 105 soldiers in the U.S. Army Reserve and the National Guard and their partners. Most of the participants feel that vaping is as satisfying as smoking, and 58% of them feel that vaping is even more satisfying than smoking. The researchers also found that the participants believe that the perceived risks of vaping decreased the more frequently they vaped. And this isn't surprising to anyone who has ever used an electronic cigarette as opposed to smoking. According to Lynn Kozlowski, the lead author of the study, she says that, quote, "The results argue that satisfaction, perceived harm or danger, and product type seem to all work together to promote use or avoidance," end quote. She also added that if the type of vaping product that a user starts out with is not satisfying to them, they are much less likely to use it, and that, quote, "There is growing evidence that the cigarette-like products are less effective at delivering nicotine than newer types of vaping products," end quote. And this is why I think it's a good idea that beginners, they go to a local brick-and-mortar vape shop and try out the various types of devices, then make a decision on the product that they think will be most satisfying to them. Another important aspect to note here is that because the participants believe that vaping is as much or more satisfying than cigarettes, it kind of throws that whole gateway effect theory out of the window. Why would someone switch from vaping to smoking? Moving from a safer product to a much more dangerous product that is also less satisfying, it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't happen. This study also goes to show how far vaping products have come. When I started vaping in 2010, I don't think many people would have said that vaping is more satisfying than smoking. I sure as hell didn't, but I was determined to quit smoking, so I stuck with it. Even a couple of years ago, I don't think people would have said that vaping is more satisfying than smoking, at least not the majority of people. But with the wide selection of products that we have on the market today, there's a product that fits the needs of practically everyone. All right, let's move on to the next topic. So Enjoy completes a $35 million equity capital raise. As you may have heard, Enjoy went through a bankruptcy last year after the failure of their Enjoy Kings electronic cigarette. It resulted in such a large financial loss for the company that they couldn't stay in business. So they were acquired by a joint effort of two companies who formed to become Homewood Enjoy Acquisition LLC. Well, they've just announced that they have successfully completed an equity capital raise of $35 million, which means they are now without debt and even have significant liquidity. The majority of the capital investment came from the lead investor, Mudrick Capital Management, who is a multi-billion dollar investment firm that specializes in corporate turnarounds. Enjoy has also announced that they're also fully prepared to operate according to the FDA's final regulation, and they are already in action of going through the pre-market tobacco application process. This is great news because in a time where we continue to hear of all the well-known independent vape companies shutting down, Enjoy has made it through bankruptcy and is on track to continue growing their business. All right, now let's talk a little bit about DIY. So this one is about ingredients that mute flavors. So there was a thread that I saw on Reddit the other day talking about ingredients that mute flavors, and I thought there were some great tips in there for any of you DIY e-juice makers out there. The thread didn't receive many comments, so I'm also going to talk about some additional tips that weren't mentioned in that thread. All right, so let's run through them. Heavy creams mute fruits. Sweeteners like ethyl maltol will mute fruits. Spice flavors mute bakery flavors like clove, ginger, or pumpkin spice. Practically nothing mutes menthol, but menthol on a bakery flavor like a cheese Danish will make it sour rather than menthol. And I don't know if that's true or not, that's just what someone said. TFA's smooth will soften overpowering notes and add mouthfeel, but if you use more than 2 drops per 10 mils, it will mute everything. Ethyl maltol tends to mute any flavor over time. So the longer you let it sit, the ethyl maltol will start to mute the flavors. Too much flavoring in one mix will mute all flavors. For example, more than 25% of total flavoring, there's just too much concentrates in there. VG doesn't carry vegetable glycerin, doesn't carry flavor as well as PG, propylene glycol. Many people find that a 70 VG 30 PG ratio to be a good ratio. And shisha vanilla will mute delicate or light tobaccos if it's used above 1%. And one great tip that I came across is that if you make an e-juice that sucks, add menthol until you can't taste the original flavor anymore. Once you've muted a flavor or over-flavored it, it's hard to fix. So replacing it with all menthol is a good way to prevent having to waste an e-juice, if you can stand vaping a menthol e-juice. Okay, so that's all I have for this week. You'll find the show notes for this episode on vapepassion.com. Just do a search for episode 58. If you want to support the show, consider donating to my Patreon page at patreon.com/vapepassion. You can follow me on Twitter at vapepassion, and I'm also on Facebook if you want to leave me a comment. If you like the show, I'd love it if you gave me a review on iTunes. You can also catch the video version of the podcast on YouTube. If you'd like to get notifications of new reviews or of the show, you can sign up to receive my weekly email on vapepassion.com. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me anytime at alex@vapepassion.com. Okay, I'll see you next week.